This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Sell time. Michael, first edition of Buy or Sell in the new year. First off, happy 2026 to you, Mike.
Happy 2026.
Let's try to make this better than the year that was on the whole show. That's going to be difficult for you. Actually, it shouldn't be. The bar's not that high.
So you're saying last year and the year before and the year before that were all garbage?
I would say that, yeah.
No, I don't believe that.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
I believe you have a fine program.
Thank you.
And other things you told me to say on the air.
Don't say fine. Broncos, buy or sell. Broncos turn it up offensively. They win games with their offense in the playoffs, meaning the defense is giving up points, but it's Bo Nix that lights the world on fire. They're led by their offense all the way to the Super Bowl. Not the defense. I don't know how I can make that more clear, what I'm saying. Buy or sell?
I'm going to sell that.
So defensively
leads gonna, it's going to be more of the same. Their victory is going to come by defense.
They're going to win like 19-17.
It's basically going to kind of be like that. The offense is going to move the ball and stall.
I think Bo Nix is going to go off, Michael.
I hope he does.
The legend of Bo Nix. And I'm starting this now. I'm going to tweet about it every day until they play their first game. Every day, Mike. Keep me accountable to that, okay? Bo Nix. The legend of Bo Nix is going to grow significantly in this postseason. You are going to see things that will blow your mind.
There will be epic songs written about
there
him.
There will be. I'll write one. Nay. We'll have Brian Gary write a song about Bo Nix. It'll be like one of those epic, whatever you call it, you know, nerdy stuff.
Toss
odes.
A coin
an ode.
To your Bo Nix.
An ode. Yes, exactly. You know exactly. Yes, that's where I was going. That's where I was going. So I'm buying. Go Pokes is saying sell, 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 sell. No. Go with me on this journey, Mike. Come on. I've got my motorcycle. I just installed the little cart here on the side.
That's for Tanner.
It's not in very well, but it's a risk I'm willing to take. I got a helmet for you.
It's called a Tanner sidecar.
No, you're in the sidecar. Why are you bringing Tanner into this conversation? Get Tanner off the brain.
Tanner's the sidecar. I have my own motorcycle.
Garrett,
and it's painted orange and blue.
All right, Myles Garrett broke the sack record, Mike.
Sal.
What? He did break it.
He broke it, but it's like, oh dear, I'm falling down. That's how he broke the sack record.
I didn't see it. Was that what it was? Was it a Brett Favre, Michael Strahan situation?
That's how it felt.
Did you see it?
I saw the replay, and I'm like, wait, what?
The buy or sell is that record is untouchable for the next 10-plus years. And I am selling that.
No, you can get that.
They're going to get to that. Guys are going to get to that, Mike. I mean, just this year alone. Myles Garrett with the 23, but Brian Burns had 16.5. Benito kind of slowed down, but he ended with 14 sacks, finished fifth. Hutchinson, 14.5. Daniel Hunter, 15. I just think that we're getting better caliber of pass rushers every single year. But then
offenses are
defensive coordinators are also saying, how do I get my pass rusher more opportunities? Oh, I give him a big meaty stud right there in the middle of the line to absorb some of those blocks. And I just think that we're going to see it. I think we're going to see the sack record broken within the next 10 years.
Yeah, within the next 10 years. Within the next 20 years, it's going to be broken three times.
Buy or sell. Are the Bears still the team to beat in the Big Sky Conference, or at least the second team to beat, because Montana was ranked first overall?
Bears are the team to beat.
Really?
I'm going to buy that. Having not watched any of their games.
Really? You haven't watched
I'm
any?
Buying.
You don't watch, you're not a big basketball fan, though. You're not a big basketball guy.
Yeah, especially not the NBA.
Buy or sell NBA question. Do you like the NBA? Buy. Nikola Jokic will come back before the four-week mark. Yes. Buy. He's on the road trip with them. I thought that was odd. I thought he would go home and treat his knee. Now, it's not that he can't do it. They have the technology, but maybe it's you don't really treat it. It just needs to rest. But he's walking fine, and he's on the road trip. I thought for sure he's going to go home and just rest it up for a bit.
He's there for moral support.
Yeah, and that's his leadership, I suppose. But, you know, guys like Aaron Gordon, Christian Brown have been on with this team too. But you don't always see that. You don't always see it. Buy or sell from Go Pokes. Defense is surpassing offense across football right now.
I buy that.
I do, too.
I think we're going to have a couple years of defense before
something?
The Colts ownership complains again, and then we're going to have more offense.
Is that because, with all the rule changes that have happened over the last 20 years, defensive coordinators are just figuring it out?
Yeah.
And they're figuring out what kind of players they need to bypass a lot of these rules that are in place.
It takes a while, but defenses always figure it out. Look at the Wildcat. Oh, my God, unstoppable. 6 weeks later, Miami's not going to go to the – I think they missed the playoffs that year. Like, it became stoppable. Defenses figured it out. As long as the refs aren't too flag happy, throw flags, defenses are going to figure it out eventually.
Faith says it definitely was a Strahan Favre situation and maybe a bit worse. She's saying it was worse.
Yeah, he was like, okay, I'll be a part of it.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I didn't see it. So was it Burrow that went down? It was Burrow? Because Burrow was in that game, right?
Yeah, he definitely burrowed.
Did you see Burrow's postgame? He's like nonstop just combing his hair. Just kept pushing it out of his face like he couldn't stop. It reminded me when I had my beard. I just couldn't stop messing with it. But Burrow, I've never seen him do that before. Now we're at the point where everything Burrow does, we're like, oh my gosh, is he not happy? Because you want to see the best players play. You want to see the best quarterbacks play. I'm one of those guys. I want to see the best of the best. If it's not, you know, not always the best against Denver, but I do want to when I watch the NFL, because I'm an NFL fan, the NFL is better when Joe Burrow is in the playoffs. The NFL is better when Joe Burrow is in the NFL. But I think there are serious concerns about whether or not he's going to do an Andrew Luck kind of thing.
All right, I'm going to go to the most important topic of the hour. Joe Burrow's hair. I'm watching the video now.
Right. Yeah, isn't that funny?
It is kind of funny.
It's
but
strange.
His hair is at an awkward length where the ears aren't holding it back. Speaking as someone who's had long hair multiple times.
Yeah, you did
have
long hair.
His ears aren't holding it back. And it's kind of getting in his face.
So you think his ears need...
So I've had to do this multiple times.
Are too short for his hair. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, the hair is just getting in his face. And what he should do is either move his head up or wear a hat.
I just think let it ride.
Yeah,
let it ride. Let it go.
It's irritating when it gets in your eyes.
Yeah, but
it
looks
kinda
cool.
Tickles.
It looks cool. I wish I could do that. Wish I had that kind of hair.
He does have a good head of hair.
He has a good head of hair.
Fine locks.
Yeah. He looks great. He grew up after Home Alone and Home Alone 2 because he kept it pretty short. You know, no high and tight thing, but he kept it pretty short in the Home Alone movies.
So I will defend him on that. Us long-haired people
you're not long-haired
need to stick
anymore.
Together even though I don't have long hair anymore.
You have short hair now. I think you should bring it back. Just saying. It was cool. It was unique. Good icebreaker in a conversation.
And I could just bang my head every time I heard death metal.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. The news here, the Bengals are retaining head coach Zach Taylor. It's funny that that's news that has to be news. Hey, they're not firing someone. Faith says Burrow seemed like it was like a nervousness with the hair thing. Yeah, just I don't know. It's been an odd year. It's been a tough year. No question for him. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. College football playoffs. They continue to not do the right things here. I mean, Mike, is it fair? Do you think they lost a little bit of the buzz?
Yeah, when it's like even week 17, and this was like the tamest week 17 because most of the teams were in the playoffs already and there were very low stakes. People care more about the NFL playoffs than they do the CFB playoffs. And all these coaches coming out and saying, we need to finish this by January 1st are correct. And also these
or at least just, by at least by the transfer portal day, which is the 12th.
Yeah,
or the second. Sorry,
these even the upsets don't feel too compelling.
I mean, the only
compelling one
was Ole Miss and Georgia,
Ohio State.
Oh well, that was the game that was compelling was Ole Miss and Georgia though.
Yeah, that was the only like really
that's been the
good
only
one.
Has that been the only good game? Alabama and Oklahoma was kind of a good game because Oklahoma got off to a quick start and then Alabama came back
and it wasn't a game after the second quarter.
Yeah, I think the only good game so far has been Ole Miss and Georgia. And that's why I'm like, can we get rid of the argument that nobody wants to see blowouts with G5? Your argument's better. I'm willing to entertain it. Like, they don't deserve to be there because they weren't ranked and all that stuff. They weren't ranked in the top whatever. But this idea that there's just going to be blowouts, there's blowouts in football, Mike. It's just... there's blowouts in the NFL. Look at the spreads in the NFL. They're typically like 3.5, 4.5, 5.5. Rarely do you see the 8 pluses. It's because they're so evenly matched. But, believe it or not, we see blowouts. It's just part of it. So let's erase that from our... because, I mean, Oregon beat James Madison. And I get it. They were pulling back guys back. But James Madison was still scoring early, a little bit early. Texas Tech didn't do anything against Oregon. Owen Long is visiting Indiana. How about that, Mike? I got this message here. I want to read it. On Owen Long, when your top running back, safety, and linebacker are landing visits at the best programs in the country, the problem wasn't development or coaching. It was institutional support. Players don't lie. Well, yeah, I mean, but institutional support, you got to go out and get it. So we're talking about money. You're talking about money that they can't give Owen Long. How much is Owen Long worth? If Braden Fowler Nicolosi, according to Jay Norvell, was a $600,000 guy, wouldn't Owen Long, who led the Rams with 151 tackles this season? I don't know. Is a linebacker tackling machine a $1 million guy? And can CSU afford to pay one guy $1 million? I don't believe so right now. I'll be excited to catch up. We got Rams Weekly starting back up on Thursday, and we'll get back into our regular schedule of interviews. I want to kind of get Kevin's thoughts on... it seems like at this stage, a lot of big guys have been leaving the program for CSU. But I say this, like, there's guys I'm excited about. Like, Owen Long's a stud. Jackson Warren I like. But it's not like this was a good team. So when you see guys entering the portal and you get people freaking out, it's like, okay, well, okay, it wasn't a good team. So I'm curious to kind of see how, oh, and that message that I just got, that's not from him, but this was the tweet. This tweet was Jaden Norvell that posted it. That is Jay Norvell's child. For those following along, when your top running back, safety, and linebackers are landing visits at the best programs in the country, the problem wasn't developing or coaching. It was institutional support. Talk about burning bridges. I thought that was kind of an interesting tweet to put out. But again, institutional support. I know for a fact that they are trying to pull as many resources together to help bolster their football program. But at the end of the day, I can only give you as much support as we get from our boosters and the surrounding community. And I know they're working hard to do it, but CSU doesn't have that kind of dollars. surrounding the program right now. And I don't know. If Jim Mora can't seem to get that going, then I don't know who can. But time will tell. Fascinating tweet there. That was back. Was that today? Wow. Wow. Is that a good move? Bad move. Sticking up for your dad, sticking up for the staff, saying it's not the coaches or development. It was institutional support. I guess I would say this with Jay Norvell then. Like, my question would be, what other guys were developed? The quarterback position certainly was never developed. You had good running backs. Outside of Torrey Horton, did we see any key receivers develop? Did we see, Jackson Warren looked like he was going to have maybe a good season and got hurt. Offensive line was pretty good. But I don't know that there was a lot of skill players for CSU on offense or on the defensive side that were like saying, wow, they came in and they grew up with the program. There just weren't a lot of those names. There were some big names that moved on. But I just don't know that CSU has had a giant list in the last 4 or 5 years under Jay Norvell where you say, wow, they've had however many NFL players, they've had however many superstar players that are just really good that you'll remember forever. I just don't think there's been a ton of those guys. Torrey Horton's one of them. They had some solid running backs defensively, going back to like guys like Mo Kamara. Good. But not a plethora of those guys. Texter says, college football is all sorts of messed up. Also, do we need 100 bowl games or do we maybe move them to the start of the season? As like the preseason. Leave the big ones for the playoffs. My question on that is, because I'm hearing a lot of people say, do the bowl games before. But who gets into the bowl games? Is it based on your season before and then you just make them the bowl games to start the season?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. But then it's just not going to be... You're going to have so much turnover because your seniors are all gone. Like, what if you're a very senior-heavy team, like Washington was when they lost their national championship to the cheating Michigan Wolverines? Like, they had a lot of fifth- and sixth-year seniors. They only had one player
earned, you don't get a play-in, which would be weird. But you would actually play. So... I don't know. They're not going to lose. They don't want to lose the money. So I don't see bowl season going away.
I don't see bowl season going away for the next 20 years. But your second tier bowls are going to start going away once
expand
they can't get sponsors.
The playoffs, and every playoff game is a bowl.
Yeah, once Tony
the
Tiger
multiple
says,
teams will play in multiple bowl games. But it is what it is.
When Tony the Tiger says, they're not great, and then you're going to lose all your sponsors.
Yeah. I've said the bowl games should just be the playoffs, which they're already kind of doing. The argument to that is, well, then you got the championship team's going to play in four or five bowl games.
And that makes the bowl games even more useless.
Then give me how do you make the bowl games better?
Yeah, I don't know.
I really don't know. It's all we care about is the college football playoffs. I knew once we entered that, and that's fine because I never cared about bowl season. I cared about getting a bowl because if that's the very minimum achievement you can accomplish is getting 6 wins and getting into a bowl game, fine, go get it. But after the fact, like during the bowl, like once the bowl game hits, I don't care. I didn't care about CSU's bowl game last year. I just don't care. Would I rather CSU win a bowl game than lose a bowl game? Sure. But it doesn't keep me up at night. I'm not going to come on the show the next day after a bowl loss and break down what went wrong. Because like you just said, the rosters are different. Coaches are moving on. Speaking of coaches moving on, how about Ole Miss? Every win they get just lines Lane Kiffin's pockets a little bit more. Is he rooting for Ole Miss to win or lose, do you think? He gets more money if they win. And he can, on one hand, he can be like, yeah, I built that. They just took over what I built. Or is it like, wow, they did it without me?
I think it's a little bit of both. He can say, look what I built. And they can say, we're Ole Miss. We don't miss you.
Nice. Nice. No, good for them. I am kind of rooting for Ole Miss.
I am this weekend. I hate Miami.
Why do you hate Miami?
Because they beat my Washington Huskies 63-7
They beat your favorite team
many years ago.
They beat your favorite team many years ago.
Texter, I hold grudges.
But it will make the bowl games more money with multiple teams playing because the fan base will follow. Yeah. GoPoke says, what bowl games actually make money? Well, I mean, they do, don't they? Advertising dollars? I mean, how much is Pop-Tarts or whatever paying for that? Probably a lot. Texter says, let's be honest, bowls suck. Nobody's getting excited to see Wyoming versus directional Michigan. No, I don't care. I say achieve it while you can, win six, great. That's a good, you know, when you're setting your goals, like Sean Payton sets his goals and said first is win the division, second is win a playoff game, third is whatever. I don't remember his goals. That's at least something you can say, hey, we won, we at least got to a bowl game. We at least did that. 26 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break here. Let's look at the NFL playoffs, Mike. Let's break this bad boy down. The Broncos don't have to play. That's the most important part. But who is playing? Who are the players? We'll be right back.
For Hall of Fame Preps Talk, listen to Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Let's look at the AFC playoffs, Mike. The games this weekend, and just a couple of thoughts on the teams participating. How about the New England Patriots? The 14-3 New England Patriots. How important was it for the Broncos to beat the Raiders? That turned out to be the most important, Mike. We said it might be that second game, and lo and behold, that was the tiebreaker that the Broncos needed to get that number one seed over the Pats. Pats and the Chargers will go at it on Sunday. Again, all playoffs, every single playoff game will be right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Drake May, yeah, he is playing at an MVP level. He might just be the MVP. Only a second-year quarterback. He led the NFL in completion percentage at 72%. He threw for 4,400 yards, 31 touchdowns to 8 interceptions. It's this year when you watch him play, it just seems like everything slowed down, has slowed down for him. And he doesn't look rattled.
But he hasn't played the San Diego Chargers, even though Drake may be
Los Angeles the Chargers. MVP. Los Angeles Chargers, Mike.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
I'm so used to San Diego.
Well, you got to get used to it. This is a professional sports program.
Sometimes.
The Patriots don't have a very good run defense. They kind of just, they give up a lot. They give up chunk yards on the ground. From week 10 to 18, opponents averaged 4.7 yards per carry and over 132 yards per game against them. 8 touchdowns on the ground. They were really good through week 9 and then got really bad. So that's something to pay attention to. The Patriots against the run throughout these playoffs. You're right. They didn't play the Chargers in the regular season. Last time they played was in week 17 of 2024. And the Chargers beat New England 40-7. Different Patriots team now, though. How about the Jacksonville Jaguars, man? I mean, you got to look no further than Trevor Lawrence. We're looking at quarterbacks right now. He was turning it over a lot at the beginning of the season. And the last several weeks, he has been as close to perfect as you can get. This is the best football of his career that he's playing right now. And you got Jacoby Myers. They got him at the trade deadline. That's another good, sure-handed receiver for them. Brian Thomas Jr. had some early struggles. He seems to be really gelling with this team. The Jags are a good team. Their pass rush isn't very good. That's your one concern. The Jags won their last eight games. They got red hot. Some might say they're the hottest team going into the playoffs. But going up against the Bills, they didn't play them this year in the regular season. The Jags are 2-0 against the Bills in the playoffs. Most recently beating Buffalo way back when in the 2017 AFC wild card. Jacksonville's a scary team. Pittsburgh Steelers. I think that it starts with their defense. Their rush defense has been much better the last few games. Wasn't very good at the start, but they've started to click. Pittsburgh's given up an average of 73 rushing yards per game over the past 4 weeks, and that's against guys like Devon Achane, Jahmyr Gibbs, and Derrick Henry. But their offense is still pretty inconsistent. They're getting DK Metcalf back, though. I don't believe there's going to be any blue-haired Lions fans to worry about in this game coming up this weekend for Pittsburgh. But their offense is kind of like, I mean, you saw the last few drives against Baltimore. They looked amazing. And it was like Aaron Rodgers looked to be turning back the clock. Can you do that again? And can you do it in the playoffs? That's going to be the big one there. I mean, when they lost to Cleveland, they didn't find the end zone once in Week 17. But in their three-game winning streak, when they beat Baltimore, they beat the Dolphins, and they beat Detroit from 14 to 16, they scored 10 touchdowns. So they're capable of it. They just don't always do it. The Houston Texans. Their defense. They're second in the NFL in scoring defense. 17.4 points allowed per game. Very stingy. They've shut down a lot of really good quarterbacks this year, man. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Daniel Jones when he was rolling. I would imagine this Texans defense is going to be ready for battle. The question will be, what about the offense? They're averaging about 22 points per game, kind of in the middle of the league. But they're kind of like Denver. They're built a little bit like Denver. Really good defense, an offense that just doesn't scare you. So that one's going to be a fascinating game. The Buffalo Bills. Just talking about the teams here that are in. Josh Allen. I mean, if he's on the field, the Bills have a chance every single game. He's that good. I mean, he's probably the best quarterback in the league. As much as I like Lamar Jackson, and obviously Patrick Mahomes has the resume, but man, given how the season went for Mahomes and then the injury, it does seem like Josh Allen is the, and I know Drake Maye's had the better season, but overall, Josh Allen's stud, man. He just doesn't have the hardware to go with it. But the Bills have never won a road playoff game under Sean McDermott. They are 0-5 on the road in the playoffs.
And they will be 0-6.
That's what you think. I don't know. That's a tough one, but my gut went with the Bills here. My gut went with the Bills. Going with the Bills. Over the
Jags.
They
will lose by 10 points.
They will not lose by 10 points. The Chargers, you're getting Justin Herbert back. Kind of's got the Roy Munson hand going there. Just kind of in that. I don't know if it's going to be out of that thing, but it looked weird when he played. But it's all, I mean, Justin Herbert. They have an elite defense. They get magical plays from Herbert. But they have a bad offensive line. So that's where if the Chargers do match up against the Broncos, I do like them to win that battle. That would be a lot on Herbert to run around and try to make plays with a bad offensive line. That's the AFC. In the NFC, just trying to peel through my notes here. I'm skipping past the teams, obviously, Seattle and Denver. Chicago Bears. Faith, tell us about the Bears. Caleb Williams. He's answered all the questions, man. All the critics. Everybody that goes after this guy. Oh, he's going to be the biggest bust ever. I mean, they can go toe-to-toe. They can go up against pretty much anybody. And Caleb Williams has been a monster part in that. They can make comebacks. I mean, they're never really out of games. Their defense is funny because we're talking about Caleb Williams. We're talking about quarterback, a stud quarterback for the Bears. We don't do that very often, right? We always talk about the defense. Defense is always kind of the thing for the Bears. Well, their defense isn't that great. They were 31st in pass rush win rate entering week 18, which led to only 4 sacks in his final 3 games. Getting to the quarterback is certainly a problem. The Philadelphia Eagles, their defense, Vic Fangio's crew, pretty good and getting better as the season progressed here. But I think
it'll be a
defensively,
good loss
they're going to be good. Defensively, they're great. Their offense, the line's not what it was. Play calling has not been great for Philly. And, you know, Saquon Barkley's not Saquon Barkley from last year. They paid him all that money, and he just hasn't been that guy. They just haven't been able to get that consistent run going. The Carolina Panthers, Michael's favorite team in the playoffs, the 8-9 Carolina Panthers. And Bryce Young, he's still kind of an inconsistent quarterback, but we all thought for sure he was a bust. He's revived his career enough. You didn't think so? You were never out on Bryce Young?
I didn't think so. I didn't think people were giving him a fair chance.
Well, he went to
Look
Carolina.
Look at the organization he was with.
Yeah, I agree. They're kind of just spotty. You know, they win one, they lose one, they win one, they lose one. So it just depends on which Carolina Panthers team you're going to get. The Los Angeles Rams, Matthew Stafford, along with Drake May. Those are the two MVP guys we're talking about. Matt Stafford has played at an MVP level this year. And their offense has been outstanding. They've scored at least 30 points in their last 10 games. Stafford has 4,700 passing yards and 46 touchdown passes. He's probably the MVP. Their biggest concern, this one according to CBS Sports, is special teams. I haven't watched a ton of Rams games, but when I do, it's always Matt Stafford lighting it up, so I don't watch them close enough to know about the special team side of it. The San Francisco 49ers. Their offense has been pretty good. That's why I was shocked that they lost on, was it Monday? When was that? When was that? Was that Thursday? How far? Man, my time is just gone. Brock Purdy, since he got back after the toe injury in week 11, they're averaging 30 points per game. Just really good. But they do have injuries. George Kittle, ankle sprain. Left tackle Trent Williams missed. Oh, it was Saturday. Sorry, my bad. Saturday's game. He had, he's got a hamstring thing. Kittle played, but maybe not at the highest level. Christian McCaffrey, obviously a game changer. But their defense, that's been what was really good for them for a while. That hasn't been very good. How about this little stat I found this morning? Among defenses on postseason teams, the 49ers are one of the 3 worst in points allowed per game, giving up 25.5. Defense expected points added, minus 26.7 yards per play allowed. So their defense isn't fantastic. Green Bay, great quarterback, Jordan Love. And he's obviously, he was kind of in a little bit of those MVP conversations late in the season. I mean, some people really liked, his game has been excellent for the Packers. But he had a concussion. When was that? Was that against the Bears? In week 15 or 16, he got the concussion. But you got Malik Willis, who's maybe one of the best backup quarterbacks in the NFL right now. So, all this being said, Mike, who's the... Take your hat off. I'm not asking about the Broncos or the Seahawks. Who's the best team playing this weekend?
Jaguars.
You said that pretty quick.
I think they are the best team playing this weekend. And I think they're making it to the AFC Championship.
Are we on the third segment or the second segment?
You're on segment number two.
Okay, so we need a break, desperately.
We will need a break in the next minute and or minute and a half.
Yeah, let's do that. The best team playing this weekend, I'm going to say it's the Rams, even though they're at five. They'll show it. I'm going to go with the Rams. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, it's going to be fun. I'm excited. I'm excited we don't have to worry. The Broncos have essentially already won. They are in week two of the NFL playoffs in the divisional round, so it'll be fun to watch these games. Kind of somewhat stress-free, although paying attention to who the Broncos will be facing. Michael, what did we learn coming up next? Keep it here on The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Find out what's happening in your community. Sports news and talk. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
What did we learn today here on the show, Michael? We learned maybe the Broncos don't have anything specifically. They have good players. A couple great players. Probably Surtain and Benito. But there's not like an obvious, that's who they are. That's just not who they're built to be this year. But what defines them? What is their identity? Gritty wins.
Maybe they're the no-name team. Instead of the no-name defense, they're the no-name team.
Is this the least sexy good Broncos team we've ever seen?
I mean, they do have a bunch of dirty victories.
I don't know. Because I'm thinking, obviously, the Peyton Manning, that was star-studded, man. There was tons of stars on that group. Jake Plummer's Broncos, Jake Plummer was a show in and of itself. There were some good players on that. I mean, you had Champ Bailey on that team, John Lynch on that team. Some really good players, like Hall of Fame players. I don't know. You know what else I learned? Enjoy it right now, because it's really good. The Avs are the best team in hockey. The Nuggets are a contender. The Broncos got the first round bye. But man, it can end quickly. The Broncos could end next week. Not this week, but next. The Nuggets could... January could be such a month from hell that they could fall way back. I mean, they're dipping quickly. And then the Avs lose Gabriel Landeskog for I don't know how long. How will that impact them? Enjoy it while you can. Because it just... We hope the greatness lasts all year, but it's tough to do that, Mike. It's tough to do that. But right now, we're still in a pretty good time. What'd you learn today, Mike?
Well, I just remember a few weeks ago, the guys on the NFL going, boy, Denver sports is great. The Nuggets are this. The Avalanche are this. The Broncos are this. And now it's like Avalanche have a big injury. The Nuggets, the entire roster is out.
Injuries. Yeah.
It looks like the Broncos are the only ones right. I mean, they did have a couple people banged up yesterday.
But they're finding
Broncos
ways.
Right,
they win.
Yeah.
They win, Mike.
You know what I learned today?
Yeah, what?
You and I pretty much agree on who's going to win this weekend.
Except for the Bills game, is that right?
Except for the Bills, and you're rooting incorrectly in the college football playoffs.
No, I don't think so. I like Dan Lanning. I think he's good,
but he's not going to win.
Oh yeah, they're going to win. They will win.
You want to put money on it?
How much are we talking?
I don't have any
pizza.
Money.
Big City Roadhouse, your treat.
Maybe.
Okay. That'll do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Tuesday. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.